And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments upon him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the tree and strew them in the way. And they that went before him and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And, you know, you read this and you'll find that there was a multitude that was coming in with Christ, and all of this was taking place, those in front of him and those in behind him, praising God. And yet then just a week later, or less than a week later, some of the same crowd was crying, crucify him, just because Christ did not do what they wanted him to do. Because Christ did not come in the way they wanted. They was wanting a king to come and deliver them from the Romans. But yet, that wasn't Christ's job at that time. He was coming to deliver them from sin, something far greater than that the Romans was doing to them. And you and I today, we look at this and we think, oh, how could they change their mind so quickly to what they were, praise the God. But then we look around in the world today and we see people that in just a short time before the life that they were living there was singing praises unto God. They was worshiping God and recognizing Him. But then we let the things of sin come in and take over. We give in to the temptation of this world, and we don't hold on to the praise that it do, cause you and I today, if we look back, I wonder how many actors see Christ praying for the dead. How many that were crying crucified was saying, oh, I wish I had been in that crowd. You and I today, we can regret what we did. But unless we come down before God with true repentance, our regrets are in vain. And you know, each and every one of us, we can see today the world, they don't want to worship God the way God requires for us to worship Him. You know, there's few people, even a lot of people that goes to church, that don't have God in the place where He's supposed to be, because He said, I'll have no other gods before me. And yet, when it comes to the things of God, we just serve God in the leftover time that we've got, instead of giving God our very best. And here, as we read this and see, you know, I just wonder how many of this same crowd was there at Pilate's hall. How many of them was there at the cross, maybe, thinking, well, if he was the Son of God, this wouldn't be happening to him. And how many was there when they took him down from a cross? But you know, it wasn't very many expecting him to raise that first day. But yet there was still a few that was willing to look for him and to recognize and remember what he had said, and that he come forth doing exactly what he said he would do. You and I today, God has never failed on one of us. He's kept his word that he said. You know, I can go back over my life. There've been many times I failed God, but everything God promised unto me, he held to that promise. You and I today, we look around and we see all the world, the shape is getting in. What about my children? How are they going to do this? But if we put God first, and we really live a life in front of us, and we pray for it, I believe God is still able to deliver in this day and time and bring them to God. You know, if a person don't want to live for God, God's not going to make them. But he also said, if we hunger and thirst after him, we shall be filled. You and I today, God stands ready to satisfy the longings in our heart. But I wonder how many people has a longing in their heart. Or how many is it that's looking forward to some pleasure, something here in this life, and not giving God the time. You know, the Sunday morning I got right with God. That was one of the things the devil was working on me with, because I had plans with some of my buddies to go to the races the next week and going to get drunk. And the drunk part wasn't in my mind. But you can't disappoint them and not go. They're wanting to see how fast your car is. Yet I got to the point where I seen I needed God more than I needed anything else. And when I come and repented, and when I went to break that date that I had with these people, they dropped me. They never wanted anything else to do with me. Why? Because they wasn't true friends. That's all you have in the world. You don't have true friends. You have acquaintances. But when you get right with God, you can find people that are true friends. Why? They love you. They pray for you. They care about you. You and I today, here they were the disciples and others that were here going before Christ and following, screaming Hosanna to the highest. You and I today, how many times do we raise our voice before those that don't know anything about God, testifying, let the world see Christ shining in us, knowing just how much that He means to us. You know, too many times I'm afraid that we're unwilling to stand up and be different. We're unwilling for the world to see us for who we should be. But do you realize what they see us as is who we really are? And a lot of times we lie to ourselves. But those that we work with, those that we meet and come in contact with, they're the ones that really knows me and you for who we are. And, you know, I'm afraid that we think because nobody knows the thoughts that I have. Nobody knows what I've done. Nobody knows where I go. You might be really surprised to find out how many people do know. But it doesn't matter. The people that knows, God knows. And each one of us, when we look at this, you know, you'll find here what was going on. They didn't want this to happen. They didn't want these people to be crying out like that. Christ told them, if they don't cry out, the stones will. You and I today, is a stone going to have to cry for you? Or are you willing to carry the testimony of Jesus Christ wherever you go? If you really love Him, you know, I believe we're coming to a time when the people is going to actually see. I was thinking of this the other day. Mom and Dad's buried back in Maryland. And the Bible talks about He's coming as the lightning flashing from the east to the west. Well, we're west of Maryland. But it wouldn't take very long for a lightning strike to get here. We're going to all be going up to meet Him in the air all over the whole world. And you and I today, it's time for us to realize the words of God are true. What He said He's going to do. And we might not understand how it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. They couldn't understand back here what these were so excited about. But they were seeing their crowd for who He really was for just a little short time. You and I today, it's coming a time when we're going to see coming back for those that is looking for Him, and we'll see for who He is. And that's the wonderful part about it. God is not slack concerning His promises. And me and you, if we will take the time to believe God and put our faith and trust in Him, God stands ready to prove Himself to us. You know, I've had people that said they were Christians, And they say, well, God's really never answered none of my prayers. Well, if you was a true Christian, He answered one right there for you to be a Christian. But then after that, if you haven't had a prayer answered, it's because you've not been praying a prayer of faith. And I'm so thankful that God hears and answers prayers. I could not count the number of prayers that God has heard and answered for me. And you and I, if we don't have faith to believe in what we're asking of God, we need to get on our knees and do some serious praying and examining ourselves to find out why we don't. Because, you know, there's more proof that Christ lived and did what the Bible says that He did than there is that Ronald Reagan was president. You and I today, it's time for us to realize God has proven Himself time and time and time and time again over the centuries. And each and every one of us, He don't have to prove Himself to either one of us. But I'm so thankful that God does when we pray a prayer of faith. You know, you and I, this little church here has prayed for things that was impossible except God heard and answered. This little church, except for the remodel and everything, we got this building and 3 acres of ground for $1, and then they dropped the dollar in the offering plate. God give it to us for free. And He's blessed us to have the money to remodel this and then build the fellowship hall and owe nothing on any of it. This little crowd, God has supplied bountifully. And it's time for us to realize we owe God so much. We're so far behind on thanking God for all that He's done, all that He's given. And each and every one of us, if we'll only remember our great need for God. And He's the only one that can do it. You know, our life, whether you recognize it or not, our life each day is a gift from God. And what you do with it, that's your choice. But God's give you that day. Are you living it for Him? Do you testify for Him? You know, seeing a chiropractor, and he was asked me, was I still preaching? And I said, yeah. And told him about our services on the internet. And he said, oh, I get some slack time here. He said, I could pull that up and listen. Well, I've seen him a whole lot since then, and he's never told me whether he listened or not. But you and I, when we go to town or anywhere, we've got a chance to witness to somebody. Tell them about the Lord. Tell them about the broadcast that's on the internet. Tell them about the revival. Don't let me forget. I got posters out there in the car for the revival that I want to pass out. But each and every one of us, our life is so short. And we got such a short time to do stuff for the Lord. I'm 78. Live to August, be 79 years old. And life don't seem like it was that long. It passes by so quickly. Do you realize the biggest majority of this crowd has been born in the last 30 years? And we've been here in Missouri for 30 years. That's how fast life goes by. You and I, you might think, oh, I'm young, I got a long life ahead of me. You'll find out you'll be in your 30s or 40s before you realize it. You and I, what we do today for God is all that's going to last. And you might not realize it. When I was in North Carolina, we was in a church there. I forget his last name, but his first name's Charlie, too. But at his church, and there was a preacher there that made a testimony about some young men that was in a revival where they was holding, and they were sort of laughing and sort of making fun of what was going on in the service. And they left church, and there was a crossroad just inside of the church. They went there and pulled out and got hit by, I think it was a truck. Killed them both. They was there laughing, thinking, oh, we're young. We got a long life ahead of us. This is just a joke. It's no joke. It's serious. The most serious thing that you and I can ever come in contact with. And that's what we do with our life and our heart. It's our choice whether we live for God or not. God will deal with each and every one of us. But it's up to us whether we want to surrender our heart and life unto Him. God is so merciful to us. He reaches out and He comes so far. It's to knock upon the heart and let us know that we need Him. And it's up to you whether you open that door and let Him in. You and I today, God left it in our hand. He paid the price. And then He leaves it up to you whether you want to accept it or not. He's offered a way for you to be redeemed. But only you can make the joy whether you want to receive it or not. No matter how great a gift somebody gives you, if you don't take it, it's of no benefit to you. God give you a gift, but you must receive it before it's going to do you any good. I beg each and every one of you, please, just think of the seriousness of the decisions you're making in life. Your life is so short. You know, I mentioned this so many times, this little graveyard out here, it's got people buried there from just newborn babies to old men and women. Nobody has a promise of tomorrow. Not one single one of us. We don't even have a promise of being able to see the sunset on this day. But if we are not right with God, when we come and stand before God, we're going to be without an excuse. So, we get some song to sing. I beg you, please, don't keep saying no to God. Whatever God's asking of you, I can tell you, it's much better to surrender your will unto His will than it is to be stubborn and say, well, I'm going to make my own decision. I'll come when I get ready. The Bible lets us know God's Spirit will not always strive with man. You might get ready and it be too late. Because when God quits knocking upon that heart, makes no difference. You can open the door, but what are you going to invite in? If He ain't there, He's not coming in. And if He's not dealing with you, knocking up on your heart and letting you know that you need a Savior, then you can't be saved. And that's something you need to realize. Just while God is inviting Himself into your life, you've got to say yes. You know, if somebody comes to my house and knocks on my door, if I'm occupied at something and I don't get up and go to the door for 30 minutes, I'm not very bright if I think you're going to be still standing there. Well, God, He knocks a whole lot longer than 30 minutes. But if He's knocked upon your heart one time, that's all He obligated Himself to give you was one time. You've had a chance. And if you didn't take that, then when you stand before God, you can't say, I didn't have a chance. I didn't have a choice. You made your choice. While we sing, It's your decision to make today whether you want to live for the Lord or not. The devil might tell you you can't, but he's a liar and been that from the very beginning. Each and every one of us, God made it possible we can do what we want with God. We can accept Him or we can reject Him. We can be a born-again Christian, or we can be yielding ourselves unto Satan. It's our choice. Anyone got a word, anything on your heart? Please, each and every one of you, remember the services today.